Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen. You may be seated. The people of the world sought to unite themselves proudly against God, to make a name for themselves, to create a great work, lest they be dispersed over all the earth. The creatures God had created were happily working together to overthrow or to outshine their Creator. Their plan failed. God had to come down just to get a look at this mighty, minuscule effort of the proud union of mankind building that tower, and God confused their language and did exactly as they feared, dispersed them over all the earth. So goes mankind whenever it proudly asserts itself against God. No matter how many men or women ally themselves against Him, it is a small thing for God to confuse and disperse them all. As Scripture says countless times, pride goes before a fall. It was the same for Adam and for Eve when they fell. It is the same for those at Babel when their plans fell. It is the same for those who ever since have ever tried to push against God. A proud and powerful group had killed Jesus. The ruler of this world, the devil, had so unified the Pharisees, scribes, and even Sadducees, tying in Herod and also even the Roman authorities, that they joined together to make sure that Jesus died. But Jesus rose. Their efforts at their evil plans were undone. One more example of pride going before a fall, and how futile it is to contest against God. Sin, death, and the devil went after Jesus. The result of their rebellion against God, well, sin is now forgiven. Death is now undone, and the devil has been judged, and the place of torment that he is headed towards is his final, full, for all to see defeat of defeats on the last day. Easter proved the futility of the evil plans of men and of the devil on Good Friday, and how God Himself used them to accomplish His greatest good. So Pentecost, 50 days after our Lord rose from the dead. Just 50 days. Can you imagine the temptation, the great fear and trepidation that would have been in the hearts of those apostles? They had seen Jesus die a horrible death. They now had seen Him ascend into heaven, leave them, so to speak. And they were confused about what this still meant. That the same men who crucified Jesus, their teacher, their Lord, still held all the same positions of power that enabled them to kill Jesus. And then Pentecost happens. And Peter stands up and preaches. And out of all those many nations mentioned comes one Christian church, the true Israel of God, the one people of God, trusting in Christ and looking to Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And that great crowd was humbled that day by the preaching of the law of God. You killed the King of Glory. It is a preaching that happened because the Holy Spirit was given. The Spirit of power, the Spirit of truth, who was given 10 days after Christ ascended to those apostles. And that Christ's rule was now quite evident. And the Spirit is proof. By mere words that were being preached, mankind, who is proud in its whole core, mankind is being called out, not in its proud rebellion toward its Creator, but in humble repentance and true faith in Christ as its Savior. But the men of Babel didn't think they needed saving. The men who crucified Jesus didn't think they needed saving. That mankind in general, because of original sin and unbelief, doesn't think they need saving. But this curious crowd, drowned by the sound of that mighty rushing wind at Pentecost, amazed by the multiple languages being used to reach them, each in their own language, so that they could hear the preaching of Peter. Well, they wouldn't have thought they needed saving either. Some of them so crass as to accuse the disciples of being drunk at 9 a.m. Instead, by the preaching of the word, God brings them this humble preacher, that he's humble, not weak, not powerless, because that preacher was preaching by the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God then was thus behind all that was preached that day, both in the words from the prophets that Peter used, but also behind the proclamation of the words that were preached by Peter. And the result is, by God's power, those men were humbled and given new life. They were not humbled and scattered like the proud ones were, but humbled and gathered. For the Spirit of truth, the Helper, had been sent. That He is the one who calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ and the one true faith. That He did that at Pentecost for those 3,000 souls that were baptized that day after hearing the preaching of the Word. That He brought consolation to those bodies and souls that had been afflicted by the rotten curse of what pride had brought them. And now, they were God's own people, called out from the world into a heavenly, eternal kingdom under the rule of the ascended Lord Jesus. This church, the new Israel of God, the heavenly Jerusalem, this is the church you belong to. It is a church that is brought forth by the work of the Spirit of God Himself. A church that is under the Word of God, where every member has been humbled into making confession of their sin, knowing full well the finished, bloody work of Jesus that has been done to forgive sin. Knowing that Jesus Himself has instituted gifts to deliver that forgiveness of sins to us here and now. A church, a gathered group of faithful, baptized people called out of this proud world, gathered together into one place to both pray and to await the good work of the Lord among us, for our sake, but also for the sake of the people around us. A church, then, that lives by preaching and trusts that the Holy Spirit will use such preaching from the Word to create new spiritual life in the hearts of the hearers. A church which lives by the gifts that God gives. Jesus says in the gospel lesson today that He does not give like the way the world does. By this, He intends to tell us, of course, His gifts are not limited. There's no fine print. His gifts do not end up being self-serving. There's no catch. But they bestow eternal blessing, and they come by this selfless love that we can only know by seeing Christ crucified for our sake. That Christ even goes on to tell us what these gifts are so that we may find them. We can find them, we can know them, and then of course we can trust or rely upon Him through them. That the Scriptures teach us that this is the promise of the Word. That the Word comes to us in Holy Scripture, that it comes to us in preaching, it comes to us in the Word of Absolution, it comes to us in the comfort of a fellow Christian telling us God's Word. But it also comes to us visibly then, based upon the Word in baptism and the Supper. That Christ has promised that these things will have the power of God in them. And so these things then are the ones that the Helper uses, the Holy Spirit uses, when He brings these gifts to us, and we are indeed blessed by them. That we are blessed individually, but yet, as all gifts from God are, we are blessed all together by them as well. In fact, that is the ultimate gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Helper Himself. Jesus says that the triune God indeed comes to those who love God. That is, those who heard the word of Christ and keep it. Can you imagine a better, a greater, a longer lasting, or more powerful gift than the triune God Himself coming and making a home with you? There's nothing more than that. And you have been given that Holy Spirit, who is God, and that Spirit has given you life, including, and yes, especially spiritual life, and sustains it. So what about things like sin, death, and the devil? You have a God who's promised to come and be with you, and be at home with you. Is God going to just leave you to those evil things? What about the pride of this world and its rebellion, its continued and increasing rebellions against God? You have a God who's promised to be at home with you. Is God going to just leave you and surrender to the evil? What about the trouble and the fear the proud world wants you to live by, tempting you to forsake all and join in their mighty, minuscule rebellion against God? Well, if you want to lose, really lose, catastrophically and eternally lose, join in with the world and its ways. But if you want peace, eternal, lasting peace, the kind that the world cannot produce, and the kind the world cannot give. The world can't even come close to it, both in knowing it or offering it, or really it can't even come close to threatening to take it away from you. If you want that kind of peace, then hear the words of Christ. Love the Father. And the Son, who loved the Father and has gone back to Him and has now sent you the Holy Spirit, the Helper, they will come and make their home with you. Genesis 11 shows the result of every last single proud rebellion against God. So Psalm 2 would come to mind in relation to this, that it is the Spirit's words for anyone who would dare challenge God. And thus, it's helpful for us to know things like Psalm 2, and you should read it often and maybe even memorize it if you can, to have a constant reminder whenever this arrogant world wants to puff up its feathers and try to show you how big and mighty and scary it might be. Or remember the story of Genesis 11 and how the might and the greatness of this world was so easily dispersed by God. That the powerful ones of this world, so to speak, they might seek to rebel against God, but as Psalm 2 teaches us, God holds them in derision. He laughs It literally says he laughs at their supposed power. It's nothing compared to him. That they and their plots against God will be undone. And that's just how God works. But Pentecost shows us how God works for us, the church. That to us he sends his Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter, the one who brings consolation. And not only the consolation of be patient, the end is coming, the consolation of the forgiveness of sins and so forth, but also the consolation that is found in the fact that none of the opponents of God will ever gain an inch of ground against God. But they will lose. They will lose in the worst way. And yet we as the people of God, the church of God, we have a God who has made a home with us. We are not scattered, but gathered. And we have a God who has gathered us together and made us the body of Christ, his church. And that is where we live and have all our being. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.